Good morning, all. The first case for argument this morning is Winkle Manufacturing versus the NLRB. Mr. Schreiber.
Good morning. May it please the court. We're here on a petition to review a bargaining order by the NLRB, which is based on an underlying representation case which occurred in 2001. In that case, the board included Winkie's seasonal employees in a bargaining unit with Winkie's full-time employees. We think that unit determination is not consistent with board policies established by its prior cases, arbitrary and unreasonable. The board's policy to include seasonal employees in a bargaining unit only when they have a reasonable expectation of re-employment in the foreseeable future. This has been underscored by the General Counsel's outline of law on representation law, published in 1999 and 2002. We rely on a case called Freeman Loader a lot, and that is highlighted in the General Counsel's outline of law on representation. This is a lot like Continental Web Press. In both cases, the board relied on distinguishable cases. In both cases, the board did not say why the cases Winkie relied on were distinguishable. And in both cases, on facts like the case at issue, the board decided the opposite way. In no case cited by the board, with a combination of factors like we have here, has the board included seasonal employees in a bargaining unit. Winkie has a 27% reemployment rate in 2001. In Freeman Loader, there was a 29% reemployment rate, and the board said that only occasionally were seasonal employees reemployed. They were temporary, irregular, excluded from the unit. In no case cited by the board, where there was a reemployment rate of less than 30%, less than 31%, did the board include seasonal employees in a bargaining unit.
When they put in this bargaining unit, are they going to have the same benefits?
That's bargainable.
Okay.
That's bargainable.
So that's not, obviously they don't have the same benefits.
No, they do not have the same benefits now, and we specifically, in the last contract we negotiated for the regular employees, said that if the seasonal employees did happen to come into the unit, we would bargain for them separately. No, they do not have the same benefits now. We have a 20% turnover rate in Winkie, so too in Freeman Loader. Rarely do Winkie's seasonal employees become permanent employees. In 2 years, only 6 out of 108 seasonal hires, or 5.5%, became permanent employees. In no case cited by the board, we had a 5.5% seasonals becoming permanent, where seasonals included in the unit. In fact, in one case, individual drinking cup, 25% of the seasonal employees each year became permanent, and the board did not include them in the unit. Winkie's seasonal employees do not have the same benefits as Winkie's permanent employees. The same was true in Freeman Loader. Winkie's seasonals are told that their employment is temporary, that they cannot expect future employment. In fact, in 2001, they signed a written statement to that effect. The same was true in Freeman Loader. The same was true in Macy's East, another case in which we rely. Winkie has no recall policy or practice. We don't give preferential hiring to former seasonal employees if they happen to apply. They're hired as new employees. We don't go out looking for them. We make no contact with them. They take the initiative. The same is true in Freeman Loader and Macy's, where they're excluded from the bargaining unit.
The board made an issue of the fact that all of the seasonals, I guess, were drawn from the local or regional Hispanic community.
Well, it's not a regional Hispanic community, Judge. It's 385,000, 500 population in the greater Chicagoland area. And the record shows that Winkie draws its employees from the greater Chicagoland area, including the suburbs. None of them live in the vicinity of Winkie's plant. None depend upon Winkie for seasonal labor. Only 6 employees of the 63 hired for the 2001 season had worked for more than one season for Winkie.
What I was going to finish by saying are the permanent employees from the same community?
No, they'd be drawn from the Chicagoland area as well.
Well, just for my own information, I've trying to look to see if there's any distinction here. Are the permanent employees generally Hispanic?
I think generally everyone is Hispanic, generally. Looking at the names in the list, as far as we can tell, yes. And we did print our notice in English and Spanish when they signed that they said they were going to be temporary employees. We did it in English and Spanish. Not exclusively, but I would say generally. The board says, in its brief, that the only issue is whether the regional director reasonably weighed the factors. Well, the focus of this reasonable weighing must be a reasonable expectation of reemployment. And if you weigh your factors premised upon distinguishable cases, your weighing is unreasonable, and the unit determination that results is unreasonable. And that is what has occurred here. And that is why the unit determination should not be enforced. The board attempted, or the regional director actually attempted, to distinguish some of our cases. The board said our cases were distinguishable, but never said why. The regional director said that Winky hires a substantial number, or rehires a substantial number, of its seasonal employees, while in Freeman Loader, only occasionally were seasonals rehired. Well, our rehire rate of 27% is less than Freeman Loader's rehire rate of 29%. So the regional director is simply wrong. Regional director also said that rarely in Freeman Loader did seasonal employees become permanent employees. Well, six employees out of 108 and two seasons, or 5.5% of Winky's seasonals, only that small amount become permanent employees, and nobody has explained why that isn't rare. The regional director also said that Winky authorizes its seasonals to reapply. Well, the board has not cited a case where an employer does not authorize its seasonals to reapply. But there's no recall policy. We don't go out looking for them. And if they do reapply, and if they are rehired, they're rehired as new employees. No seniority, no spots are held open for them. In fact, in 2001, two were not hired who had worked for us because when they reapplied, there were no jobs available.
You're into your rebuttal time, you know.
Then I will leave it for rebuttal.
Thank you, Schreiber. Ms. Boyle?
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
As Mr. Schreiber recognizes, the only issue for the court is whether the board reasonably found that the seasonal employees should be included in this existing unit because they have a reasonable expectation of reemployment in future systems and in future seasons. And I submit that the board did appropriately weigh the settled factors for making that determination, and based on a confluence of certain of those factors, did appropriately find that they had such an expectation. And I also submit that decision by the board is consistent with precedent. The cases that Mr. Schreiber principally relies upon are factually distinguishable, as the hearing officer and the board noted in its decision. The key factors that converge to establish a reasonable expectation can basically be broken down into two categories. First, the factors showing an expectation that there will be future jobs for these employees, and second, a reasonable prospect.
Just a minute. I'll move over here.
You can't hear?
I can hear you, but I want to interrupt. You said that they found there was a reasonable expectation of reemployment because there was a reasonable expectation of employment, if I heard you correctly.
Well, there are essentially two categories that these factors can be fall into. One is factors showing that there will be jobs in the future, and that is that the factors that fall under that category are primarily that the company heavily depends on and regularly depends on seasonal labor in a recurring way. It's a very stable requirement, and that's a settled factor for considering.
That's pretty much true of any seasonal employment.
Not necessarily. In some of the cases, and these cases go back to the 1960s, where the board found that seasonals were ineligible, it's because of the lack of information of whether this is a recurring requirement.
I don't remember any illustration. Give me an illustration of a seasonal
employee. In Macy's East, the history isn't known. For the past 20, the person who testified, that's one of the two cases that the company relies on, the person who testified had been there for 22 years, yet there was no evidence given as to the percentage of actual reemployment from year to year. It's to distinguish.
I want to know what. Is there an expectation of reemployment at Macy's? Is that the case you just talked about?
No, in Macy's, the board did not excluded the seasonals. Basically,
what kind of work did the workers do at Macy's?
They just prepared for the Thanksgiving Day parade, and that the board found that
they thought they were going to cancel Thanksgiving next year, or what?
It's not part of Macy's year-round.
Every day.
Basically, there's another case where the employees were only hired for the grand
opening. Take Macy's out of the mix then and move to the next one.
The board is distinguishing between situations where the employment is just for very brief periods, like in Christmas, the Christmas and Lent season in Great Atlantic and Pacific Tea, versus situations where these employees are really doing the core of the employer's work alongside the regular year-round employees, and the employer heavily depends on it for its core business, not just a particular holiday. I mean, if these...
employment is out of the mix.
That is a factor that weighs heavily against finding of eligibility.
If it's seasonal, then it's significant as opposed to a single event.
Right. The length of the season is a very important factor.
Assuming then that the Ms. Broido, is it Ms. Broido. Assuming that the board appropriately focused on Winky as somebody in that category. Following on what Mr. Schreiber seemed to emphasize, would this set new norms in light of the other cases? I mean, on the percentage factors that he spoke of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that he...
For reemployment?
No, just his figures about the 5.5% and the 6 out of the 108, would they be new lows? I'm not saying that they couldn't fit in a reasonable board conclusion. I'm just asking from a precedential value, is he correct that if we looked at the cases, this will be the new low on the statistically? I know cases don't match.
No, because the number of six that Mr. Schreiber was quoting is the number of temporaries who became permanent, and that is significant.
But I have to take his other figures.
His other figures.
Yeah, it's 27%.
Yes, but in Saltwater in 1997. Seventh case, the board reviewing its precedent noted that it's historically included in the unit seasonals whose return rate is in the 30% range, and this is, you know, 27 to 30%, but it's within the range, and considering that there is a fixed definable labor pool, which isn't just all Hispanics in the Chicago area, it's the ad is for experienced sewing machine operators. It's placed in one newspaper, La Raza. So it's experienced machine operators who read Spanish and read that ad in that newspaper. So that is consistent with board precedent.
I don't want to shoot you down in mid-flight, but if I understand you correctly, you said that the case, the closest thing to it was in the 30s. Am I correct?
Well, in Saltwater, which is a fairly recent case, the board reviewed its precedent and noted that it's historically included in the unit seasonal whose return rate is in the 30% range, considering, of course, other...
Is this figure correct, 27?
Yes, it's correct. It depends on whether you... it's 15 out of 50 or 17 out of 63. So it's in a range of 27 to 30%. That's undisputed.
Is it 27 or 30?
Well, it depends on whether you include... There were 13 employees who did not, for one reason or another, the record doesn't show, didn't complete the season. So it depends on how, you know, what lens you view that through.
It's less than seasonal then. I want to follow up on one question Judge Bauer had, and that is that you distinguish the Macy case because that is an unusual event, and they do different work than the permanent employees.
Yeah, but there were no permanent employees, in fact. I mean, it's a very unique case.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
No permanent employees?
No permanent employees in Macy's. No permanent employees.
They only work Thanksgiving then.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. It's hard to find. I admit there is no case that's on all fours with this, but that's because each industry is so unique and employers' hiring practices are so unique, and that's why often the board...
Separate Macy's Thanksgiving parade from Macy's general work of,
right.
of stores.
Mm-hmm.
So you say there's no permanent employees.
Yeah, that's what the record shows. No permanent employees. The size of the labor pool from which these Thanksgiving workers were drawn is not disclosed in the record. The size of the fact that there were no current seasonals at the time of the hearing. There were no seasonal employees. Eight had previously been employed. There's no percentage on the number of the eight previous seasonal employees who had previously worked for Macy's. So Macy's is just essentially a situation where the record is pretty much devoid of facts. And
well, I thought the case you were trying to make was that, because I'm a little confused here, that because at Winkie, they do the same work, there's just more of it in this season.
They do, that's another important question. If they do the employer's core work alongside...
But the core is bigger during this season, is that what you're
saying?
Right,
yeah, and it's, I mean...
It distinguishes from some place where they're doing something other than core work, it's sort of
right.
an aberrant thing?
Yes, for example, in Fran and Loader, it was a company that produced farm manufacturing equipment, and the seasonals were there's no evidence or discussion in the decision of the seasonals being inserted in every phase of the production. It's just there's just references to the seasonals doing certain unskilled work in certain discrete areas, whereas here these seasonals performing, it's undisputed, they perform the employer's core work right alongside the year-round employees, and that's why the board found that they had no separate community of interest.
So I think then in the, we'll call it the off-season, when the permanent employees do their work, there are a bunch of idle sewing machines.
One could infer that, but unfortunately, the record doesn't disclose how many. What goes on during?
Well, I thought they're doing the same work. There's just more of it.
Right, that's right.
So if everybody works on sewing machines, then I assume that during that off season, that some aren't working. Some of the machines are idle.
One would assume so.
Is it your position that what perhaps distinguishes this case is that the skill set is so similar as compared to the other cases like Freeman? In other words, of the
that is a key factor that these employees are doing the company's core work right alongside the year-round employees, and that plus the fact that there's a fixed and definable labor pool that you have a recall rate push around 30%.
When you say fixed and definable, you're including every Hispanic American.
I'm including those who read La Raza and are experienced. I mean, the ad calls for experienced sewing machine operators. So it's a subset, obviously, of the Hispanic community. And the fact that there's a lengthy season here, and all those factors together support the board's finding and make it reasonable and distinguish the cases that my opponent relies on.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Schreiber.
Just a few points. On the length of the season, Freeman Loader's season was February through April every year. Macy's was August through December or January every year. Individual Drinking Cup had a four-month season. We have January through May. So the length of the season, in no board case that I have read, makes a difference. Let me read what the general counsel says briefly. Where there's a high turnover rate among seasonal employees, The employer does not follow a recall policy, and the seasonals rarely become permanent employees and do not share the benefits received by permanent employees. The employees are temporary or irregular seasonals without sufficient interest. Nobody's talking about the length of the season or whether they do the same work or don't do the same work. In Montgomery Wards and Woolworths, they did the same work as the regular employees and they were excluded.
No, the temps then would be during, let's say, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, whatever the big...
In which case?
You mentioned two...
In Montgomery Wards?
Yes.
And Woolworths, they were employed during what the board calls the peak seasons for sales.
So I assume it is in that period of time. They obviously do the same thing. They sell stuff.
Right, of course. And then Woolworths and Wards.
And those were not... those were cases that support your position?
Yes, they are. Now, Saltwater, which my colleague referred to, they had a 60% reemployment rate. They cited Kelly Brothers, which has a 39% reemployment rate. And the other case the board relies on is Gray with a 34% reemployment rate. So where the regional director or the board says if you're around 30%, that's a great reemployment rate, there's no case says that. Not even 32% or 33%. In Freeman Loader, there is no showing whether the regular employees were skilled or unskilled, and there's certainly no showing that the temporary or seasonal employees did different work. They worked right along, as far as the record shows. As far as dependency, I think Your Honor made a good point. You wouldn't hire a seasonal employee unless you were dependent upon him. And there's no board case that I know of which says, hey, you're hiring seasonals even though we don't need them. They were dependent upon seasonals in Freeman Loader. They were dependent upon them in Macy's. They were dependent upon them in Ward's. All the cases. Unless you have any other questions, I think I've got it.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.